بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 11th session reading from the Sharh of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and the explanation or brief commentary of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Abdul Ibn Baz rahimahullah. Tonight, before we go into the chapter for discussion, we're going to review quickly, as we normally do, the questionnaire study guide from lecture number 10 from last week. We're going to look at the questions from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 10 from last week. And after that, we'll go into the topic for tonight. The first question from last week is, explain briefly what is intended by the sifat, descriptions of Allah which are referred to as fi'liyah. What is intended by as sifat al-fi'liyah? Ahmed. Sifat connected to his will. Naam. Anybody want to add anything to that? Naam. Speak, pair. Huh?
His actions as well.
Oh, his actions. Okay, actions that are connected to his will. Anything else? Tayyib. Naam. Fadl. And he connected to his will, meaning if he wills to do it, he does it. And if he wills, he doesn't do it. Yani, this is the meaning of it's connected to his will, meaning he does it if he wills. And if he doesn't will, he doesn't do it. Now, question number two, mention three well-known examples of as-sifat al-fi'liyah. Three well-known examples of sifat al-fi'liyah. Yani, نعم صفات of Allah's يعني
الاستواء
يعني that he ascended above the arsh. Another. Amir.
His coming on the day of judgment.
His coming on the day of judgment. نعم المجيء والإتيان. نعم.
His speech.
Okay, speech is يعني has some detail to it, so we probably want to leave that alone for right now. But yeah, you can say from one perspective it's considered fi'liyah in that he speaks whenever he wills, but it's also considered yani from the sifat dhatiyah in that he has always been described with the characteristic or quality of speaking. One other one. Naam. Well known that are commonly mentioned in mostly all the scholars. Naam.
His descending during the last third of the night.
His descending and nuzul in the last third of the night ila sama' ad-dunya. And these are examples of as-sifat al-fi'liyah. Yani, actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are connected to His will. He does it if He wills. Question number three, memorize an ayah which contains a clear example of a sifa fi'liyah. And the Shaykh gave several examples, any one of them. Naam. Amir. Where's the shad? Which part of this ayah is you would want to?
وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ
صَفَّةً. Meaning? Meaning? Somebody help us with the meaning. What does that mean? وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ. What does it mean in English? Huh? And your Lord, naam, comes, yeah? And the angels, yani, in rows, in ranks, naam. Naam, another example, anyone? طيب محمود الله اكبر الله help me
هل ينظرون الا ان ياتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام والملائكه وقضي الامر.
طيب and the meaning,
are they waiting to accept Islam until Allah comes to them?
Are they waiting for anything except that, yani, Allah comes to them, that Allah will come, yani, al-ityan, naam. Okay, the fourth question, explain briefly what is intended by the sifat, descriptions of Allah which are referred to as dhatiyah, as sifat dhatiyah. Yani, briefly, what is intended by as sifat dhatiyah? Naam, here. Okay, the descriptions of Allah that he was always described with and always will be described with. Meaning that these are qualities, characteristics or descriptions that are inseparable from Allah. And it's not related to his will that he's described with, if he wills to do it or not. No, he's always been and always will be described with these descriptions. Question number 5. Mention 3 well-known examples of as-sifat al-dhatiyah. For example, what do we mean by as-sifat al-dhatiyah? Examples. Talib. Huh? Ilm. Naam, ilm. Knowledge, yes. Okay, what else? And yeah, Allah has always been described with knowledge. He's always, yani, had this quality or characteristic. Naam, Amir. Seeing, okay, sight, yani al-basr. Naam, what else? Ahmed.
Hands.
Okay, from the sifat al-dhatiyah, or what is also known as sifat al-khabariyah, like his two hands. Muhammad.
Al-ayn.
Naam, what else?
Space.
And so on. Yani, so we did say last week that the sifat al-dhatiyah are divided into two categories. Yani, some of them are that which can only be known, yani, by revelation from the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah, like his face and his eyes and his hands and so on. Tayyib, memorize an ayah which contains a clear example of a sifa dhatiyah. An ayah, naam, Amir.
Actually, I'll answer this, but what's the other category of?
Oh, you have a question.
What is it
called? Yani, it's they're all sifat, yani dhatiyah, but some of them are excluded in that there's some special yani reference for them. That is yani sifat al khabariyah. The other ones are sifat dhatiyah, just sifat dhatiyah. Khabariyah means I can only know it from the khabar, yani from the revelation. Naam. Naam, meaning, somebody help us. Anybody hear the ayat he just mentioned? Naam. Fadl.
And I will bring you up under the watchfulness of my eyes.
Okay, bring you up under the watchfulness of our eyes, yani that Allah is overlooking, overseeing, yani caring for him. Naam. Mentioning the eyes of Allah. Other. Any other? Tayyib. Question number 7. Give an example from the Quran of the statement of the sharih, yani the explainer of the text. An example from the Quran of the statement of the sharih. This attribute of plotting or planning is limited to being a response to an action. It's limited to being a response to an action. Before we get an example, what do we mean by that? What does the Sheikh mean by that this sifa of makra or kaid is limited to being a response to an action? What does that mean? Now,
when they plot.
Okay.
Allah is the best of planners, so He has a better plan for them.
Okay, when they plot, Allah is the best of planners, so He has a plan for them. Meaning that Allah is not described with this type of description in the absolute sense, unrestricted sense, but only in a restricted sense, in a limited sense, in response to their action. In response to the action. Naam. Okay, an example. Naam, Zakaria. Naam. Meaning? Okay, naam. They plotted, they made a plot to do some evil, and Allah made a plan in response to that. Naam. Tayyib. The last question. The Sharia explainer of the text concludes this chapter, explaining that the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are, who are the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? In brief, how does he end this chapter explaining who are the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Fadl.
They are the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ and anyone who follows them in goodness until the day of judgment.
Naam, they are the Sahaba, the Ashab Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and whoever follows them bi ihsan, in goodness until Yawm al Qiyamah. Yani, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are not limited to one generation, but rather the first generation of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and whoever followed in their way. Yani, how believed the way they believed and worshipped the way they worshipped to the end. Yani, character, manners, da'wah, everything. Yani, follow the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'll see as we go along, yani, that sometimes the Shaykh Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah may extend or expand on this definition, giving some further details. Tonight, we're going to be reading in English from page 67. We're going to be starting on page 67, the chapter that begins on page 67. And this chapter is a little bit lengthy, so we don't intend to complete it, but we'll take the first part of it, and then the second part we'll continue with bi'idhnillahi ta'ala in next week's session. In Arabic, we're going to be reading from page 39. Just the first couple of pages, 39, 40, maybe 41. Or so, and like I said, we'll continue with the remainder in the following session. The title of this chapter that is placed here, and first I want to mention that as we mentioned in previous sessions, that Sheikh Salih Al-Usaymi, Hafizullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he mentioned that this section of the book contains 111 evidences from the Quran. And Sheikh Al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions 111 evidences from the Quran, which contain asma of Allah and sifat of Allah, yani that he intends to look at as a means of presenting the idea of how we actually believe in the names of Allah and his sifat. Followed by, which we'll come to in the few more sessions, 16 ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and within those ayat and those hadith, there are 28 names of Allah and 47 sifat that are not derived from names, that are mentioned as characteristics or qualities of Allah outside of the sifat that are derived from the names of Allah. So in this chapter, we're going to be looking at 16 ayat. 9 of them are followed by 7 all related to al-istiwa. Yani the final 7 are related to istiwa. We'll look at them in the next week, inshallah. Tonight we're going to look at 9 ayat. Of those 16, 2 of them follow each other from Surah Al-Furqan, the first and second ayat. And each of these, or most of these ayat, contain sifat, which we referred to previously as a sifat as-salbiyah, or manfiyah, yani negation of qualities or characteristics from Allah, yani qualities that Allah has negated from himself, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has negated from him. And we said previously, we're going to talk about it just a little bit today, that last week we said that the sifat which are affirmed for Allah, as sifat al-thubutiyah, we said that they are divided into fi'liyah and dhatiyah. We talked about that last week. I want to go back a little bit before that, yani that the sifat originally are divided into as-sifat al-thubutiyah and as-sifat al-salbiyah, or what is also sometimes referred to as manfiyah, yani the sifat that Allah has affirmed for himself and the sifat which Allah has negated from himself, or affirmed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and negated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'm going to refer back to the book that we read from last week, Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla fi Sifatillahi Ta'ala wa Asma'i Al-Husna, yani the exemplary principles concerning the sifat of Allah the Most High and his beautiful names. And the Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions it as Al-Qa'ida Al-Thalitha, yani the third principle related to the sifat of Allah. He said, Sifat Allah Ta'ala tanqasimu ila qismain, thubutiyah wa salbiyah. Thubutiyah wa salbiyah. Yani the sifat of Allah divided into two divisions, those which are confirmed or affirmed for him, and those which are negated. Salbiyah meaning manfiyah, negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight we want to look at the salbiyah, sifat al-salbiyah, just because most of the sifat that are mentioned in the first part of this chapter are all, or mostly, yani, qualities or characteristics or descriptions that are negated from Allah. But just to complete the subject, yani briefly, we'll mention part of what he said. Yani the sifat are divided into two divisions, thubutiyah, which is confirmed or affirmed for Allah, and salbiyah, which are negated from Allah. Al-thubutiyah, he said, it is ma athbatahu Allah ta'ala li nafsihi fi kitabihi aw ala lisani rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yani that which has been affirmed by Allah for himself in his book or on the tongue of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-sifat al-thubutiyah are those which Allah has affirmed for himself in his book or on the tongue of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kulluha sifat kamalin. All of them are qualities or characteristics of perfection. Yani that which is confirmed for Allah are all qualities or characteristics of perfection. La naqsa fiha bi wajhin min al-wujuh. There's no deficiency or defect or shortcoming in them in any way whatsoever. From any angle that you look at it, there's no defect in them. Examples, he said, like al-hayat, life, and ilm, knowledge, and qudra, power, ability, and al-istiwa, al-arsh, his ascending above the arsh, when nuzuli al-sama' al-dunya, and his descending to the lower heaven of this world, wal-waj, wal-yadain, wa-nahwi dhalika, and his face, and his two hands, and so on. As-sifat, al-thubutiyya, that which Allah has affirmed for himself in the Qur'an or in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them are descriptions of perfection containing no defect or deficiency whatsoever. So it is obligatory upon us to affirm them. Haqiqatan, in reality, ala al-wajd laik billahi, in a way that is befitting or suitable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as as-sifat, as-salbiyah, and that's what we're really concerned with here in this part, As-sifat, as-salbiyah, the Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says that it is ma nafaha Allah subhanahu an nafsihi fi kitabihi aw ala lisani rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, these are the qualities or characteristics that Allah has negated from himself in his book or on the tongue of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa kulluha sifatu naqsin fi haqqihi. And this last yani part of the statement is very important. These qualities or characteristics, all of them are sifatu naqsin fi haqqihi. Yani they are qualities or characteristics that are considered to be defective or deficiency in reference to Allah. In reference to Allah. Yani describing Allah with these qualities or characteristics is considered to be a defect. Not necessarily in reference to the creation, but they are defect in reference to Allah. If Allah would describe with any of these characteristics, that would be considered a defect. For example, al-maut, wal-naum, wal-jahl, yani death, or sleep, or ignorance, or forgetfulness, or incapacity, incapability, or tiredness, or fatigue. Some of these qualities or characteristics for the human being are a sign of a good sign, yani that a person sleeps. If a person doesn't sleep, that means something wrong with them. But in reference to Allah, that is a defect. Allah doesn't sleep. He doesn't get tired, and so on. Then the Shaykh, he says, so it is obligatory upon us to negate them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as mentioned previously. And this is the point that I want to focus on. It is obligatory upon us to negate them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ma ithbati diddiha ala al-wajh al-akmal. Yani negate these qualities or characteristics of defect or deficiency from Allah while at the same time affirming the opposite of them in the most perfect manner. Yani negating these qualities while affirming the opposite of them. وذلك لأن ما نفاه الله تعالى عن نفسه فالمراد به بيان انتفائه لثبوت كمال ضده. Yani this is because what Allah has negated from himself, what is intended by it is to clarify yani the negation of these qualities or characteristics for Allah in order to affirm the perfection of the opposite of them. Yani negating Allah sleeping is to confirm the perfection of his life. That it doesn't, yani it's not described with sleep or tiredness or death. So the point here is what? That negation has an objective. And that is, it is required that that negation be understood in a way that affirms the opposite in the most perfect manner for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ مَا نَفَاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْ نَفْسِهِ الْمُرَادِ بِيَانِ انْتِفَاءَ لِثُبُوتِ كَمَالِ دِدِّهِ لَا لِمُجَرَّدْ نَفْيِهِ. It's not just to negate something from Allah. لِأَنَّ النَّفْيِ لَيْسَ بِكَمَالِ. Just negating something is not an indication of perfection. إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَضَمَّنَ مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْكَمَالِ. Unless that negation entails, contains, or points to perfection. Yani the negation of these qualities of deficiency, yani contain within them an indication. The negation of that from Allah contains an indication of His perfection. That He doesn't sleep indicates His perfection. That He doesn't, yani forget, is an indication of His perfection. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ النَّفْيِ عَدَمْ. Because negating something is just the absence of that thing. وَالْعَدَمْ لَيْسَ بِشَيْءٍ فَضْلًا عَنْ أَنْ يَكُونُ كَمَالًا. And the fact that something is absent or doesn't, is not present, This is not something, let alone to say that it is yani an indication of perfection. The absence of something is nothing, and nothing is not perfection. So just negating in and of itself is not the point, but what is intended is the affirmation of the opposite of it. The Shaykh mentioned some examples. I'll just mention one of them for the sake of time. He said an example of that is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 58th Ayat, وَتَوَقَّلَ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. And put your trust and depend upon the one who has perfect life, الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ, who doesn't die. He said, فَنَفْيُ الْمَوْتِ عَنْهُ يَتَضَمَّنُ كَمَالَ حَيَاتِهِ. The negation of death from Allah indicates or contains an indication of the perfection of his life. And then he gave other examples. I'll just mention Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 49th Ayat, and also from Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 44th Ayat. And there's some interesting commentary there, but for the sake of time, we'll skip it. Okay, so tonight, yani again, the point here is to understand that yani the sifat of Allah are divided first and foremost into those which are affirmed for Him, and they are all qualities of perfection, and then those which are negated from Him, which are all qualities of deficiency or defect. And tonight, most of the ayats that we're going to look at tonight, even though they may contain some sifat that are affirmed for Allah, mostly what is intended here are sifat of negation. Yani salbiya, a sifat of salbiya. The title of the chapter, Ithbatu al-Wahdaniya lillahi wa nafyu al-Sharik anhu ta'ala wa dhikru jumlatin min sifatihi. And then there's a wow here, atif, meaning there's something else added here. The translation has connected the last two statements as one statement. And there are really four points here, four points. Ithbat al-wahdaniya lillahi, the affirmation of Allah's oneness, or better, uniqueness, that Allah is unique. Wa nafyu al-sharik anhu ta'ala, and the negation of him having a partner or partners, like a child or a wali or a yani or any other yani thing that should be negated from Allah. Wa dhikru jumlatin min sifati, and also the mention of a number of his sifat. That's the third point. The mention of a number of his sifat. Wa istiwa'ihi jalla wa ala, and also the mention of Allah's ascension. The mention of some of his sifat is one point, and the mention specifically of his ascension, which is the last part of this chapter and we'll be covering next week. So there are four points here that we are looking at. The first thing I want to know, إثبات الوحدانية لله ونفي الشريك الشريك عنه. Yani the affirmation of وحدانية, Allah's oneness or uniqueness, and the negation of him having any partner or associate that shares with him or is equal to him. So here we're going back to our original principle, الإثبات والنفي. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the manhaj of the Qur'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combines between affirmation and negation. So there's affirmation in these ayat of Allah's wahdaniyah and some other sifat, and there's also negation of him having a partner or a child or other than that. Okay, so the author, al-mu'allaf, the author Rahimahullah, that is Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah. In the first ayat of the nine ayats that we're going to be looking at tonight, he says, قَوْلُهُ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 22nd ayat. So don't set up or make, yani, andad, yani, rivals. Yani, set up something that you consider to be similar or like Allah or as an equal to Allah that you treat the way you treat Allah. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ While you know. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir in his tafsir has mentioned yani, several points of benefit concerning this matter. I'm just going to mention one of them for the sake of time. He mentions the saying of Mujahid, one of the scholars of tafsir. Na'am. طيب, we're going to discuss it now, inshallah. Na'am. Na'am. Don't make, yani, don't set up something, yeah, as a rival to Allah, meaning that is like you're making them as a partner with Allah, na'am, as a sharik for Allah. But here he used the word andad, and in other ayahs he used sharik. Na'am, we're going to see, inshallah. But the point here is that, yani, that this particular ayat, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentions, the saying of Mujahid, one of the scholars of tafsir from the second generation, he said, فَلَا تَجْعَوْ لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادٍ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ قَالَ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ يعني أَنَّ اللَّهِ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ يعني don't make any andad, any rivals to Allah while you know that He is إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ that He is إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ that He is one إِلَهٌ and some of the other scholars said similar to that. Just for the sake of time though, yani I'll leave it with that, because we want to make the point of what is the intended meaning of this ayah. Why does Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mention this ayah? Yani, why does he mention this ayah? And he, yani, the chapter is entitled Ithbat al-Wahdaniyah. So where is the Ithbat of the Wahdaniyah? Yani, in this ayah, what is understood from the ayah, while you know that Allah is one, ilahun wahid. That's the Ithbat of the Wahdaniyah in this first ayat. In the second ayat, also from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 165th ayat, he says the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ And from amongst the people are some who have taken, set up andad, yani with Allah, and they love them like their love of Allah. And they love them like the love of Allah. Some of the scholars, in mentioning these two ayats, how Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah brought them together, the first one, Allah is clearly stating, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادٍ Don't do it. It's prohibited. In the second ayah, in spite of the clarity of Allah's prohibition, there are still some people who are doing it anyway. And they have taken, yani, andad, whom they love, the way they, like the love of Allah. Yani, they have made them equal to Allah in their love. And this is, yani, shirk in Mahabba. Shirk in Mahabba. The third ayat, he says, قَوْلُهُ وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 111th ayat. And by the way, in the first two ayats, yani, the negation of Allah having any andad, yani, is a confirmation of His perfection. Yani, the fact that there's no one that can be made as a rival, or an equal, or similar to Him, that can that is entitled to receive what He is entitled to exclusively. This is an indication. Yani, what it tells us, the negation of that, is the affirmation of Allah's perfection, such that there's no one that can be a rival for Him. The third ayat, He said, "Say, Allah is ordering, say." Alhamdulillah, the praise belongs to Allah, the one who didn't take a son, yani didn't take for himself a son, nor does he have a sharik, a partner in his dominion, in the kingdom, in the sovereignty over the heavens and earth. وَلَمْ يَكُونْ لَهُ وَلِيٌ مِنَ الظُّلْ Nor does he have, nor is there for him a wali, yani that he has taken someone as a wali, as a protector or supporter or helper, due to yani his weakness or inability or due to yani his yani condition that he needed some help وَكَبِّرُهُ تَكْبِيرًا, and glorify or magnify him in the most perfect way. This ayat contains yani the negation of Allah having a child or having a partner in the dominion or having a wali, a supporter or a helper, yani out of need for it, is an indication of the perfection of Allah's sufficiency, that Allah is sufficient. He has no need of a son. He has no need of a shariq. And it's also an indication of the perfection of Allah's tawheed, that He doesn't share in the responsibility and authority over governing the heavens and the earth with anyone or anything, but is His exclusive right. The fourth ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Taghabun, the 64th surah, first ayat, يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, yani that everything in the heavens and the earth, يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ, declare the tasbih of Allah, and the simplest meaning of a tasbih is to declare Allah to be free from any imperfection or any shortcoming or any defect. Even though it's commonly translated as glorify Allah, but the actual meaning of yusabbihu, it means to declare Allah to be free of any imperfection. So, in this, yani this is also, yani from the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-manfiyah, is to declare, yani in this ayat here, is the declaration that Allah is free of any kind of imperfection, or any kind of, yani, shortcoming, which implies the perfection of Allah in all of His qualities and characteristics, and descriptions. To Him belongs the dominion, the mulk, and to Him belongs the hamd, and He has power over everything. So here there is affirmation as well of the mulk for Allah and the hamd for Allah, and that Allah is qadir, al-qadir, yani the one who has al-qudra, the power to do whatever He wills. Huh? Oh. Naam, the fifth ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this actually, these two ayats came together, the fifth and sixth ayat, both of them came from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th surah, first and second ayat. So this is the fifth and sixth ayat mentioned by Shaykh Al-Islam Taymiyyah. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا, yani blessed is, yani Allah, the one who has sent down, who has revealed the Furqan, the criterion, that is the Quran, upon his abd. And the Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin gave a nice commentary concerning the description of the Prophet as his abd here, which is a description of the highest honor. And Allah uses this description for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran in the most honorable of places. Yani where this is showing the honor. Blessed is the one who has, yani the honor here is that the Furqan was revealed to him. Naam. He has revealed it to his abd, so that he may be a warner for all of the worlds. And Shaykh Salih Al-Usaymi says that the sifa of At-Tabaruk, that Allah is the one who is full of khair, blessings, and Al-Inzal, that He is the one who sends down the revelation, are two sifat that are mentioned in this ayat that are not yani connected to any name of Allah, but they are descriptions of Allah. And we said previously that not every description of Allah has a name connected to it, but every name does have within it a description of Allah. So these are descriptions of Allah that are not necessarily connected to any name. The second of those two ayats, الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. He is the one, Allah is the one who He owns. For Him is the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth. That's affirmation, yani of mulk for Allah. وَلَمْ يَتَّقِذْ وَلَدًا, and this is negation of Allah having a son. Nor does He have a shariq, a partner in the dominion of the heavens and the earth. And yani these are negations, both of them, the negation of a son and the negation of a partner. And then there's affirmation, yani وَخَلَقَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, and He is the one who created everything, and He yani measured it exactly with its due measurement. So this implies the perfection of Allah in more than one way. From amongst the, what is implied here is that the perfection of Allah is tawheed, that He doesn't have any partner, and the perfection of His sufficiency, that He doesn't need any son, and the negation of there being multiple yani things that are, that should, that have the right to be worshipped. Ilah, aliha. The seventh ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mu'minun, 23rd Surah, Ayat 91 and 92, the saying of Allah, مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَاهُ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ. Now, Allah has not taken for Himself a son. He has no need for it. Nor are there any aliha, any ilah, nor is there an ilah, yani there is no god or anything that deserves or has the right to be worshipped along with Him. And then the ayah goes on, as some of the scholars said, to give two logical or rational arguments against the possibility of there being many gods or multiple gods or more than one. And Allah says, even if there were multiple gods, even لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ, each one of those gods would have taken away what he created, had his own kingdom. وَلَعَلَى بَعْدُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ, and some of them would have tried to overcome others. So whoever overcame the other one would have been the ilah. And if they couldn't overcome each other, then neither none of them have the right to be ilah. If one overcame the other, that is the supreme and the ilah. He said, so if there were multiple gods, each one of them would have taken away what he owns and made his own creation, and there would have been confusion in the universe. Or, yani some of them would have attempted to overcome others. He closes by saying, Subhanallah amma yasifoon. Yani Allah, yani Subhanallah, Allah the one who is free from all imperfections that they attribute to Him. Yani the pagan disbelief is what they attribute to Allah, falsehood. عالم الغيب والشهادة فتعالى أما يشركون. Allah is the one who knows that which is yani unseen and that which is witnessed, and He is highly exalted above what they associate with Him, yani the shirk. And again, yani this is yani it indicates the perfection of His tawheed, that yani there's nothing that can be associated with Him as a partner or an equal, and that He is free yani of all qualities or characteristics of imperfection. The eighth ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 74th ayat, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Don't yani put forward or set up yani similitudes for Allah. Indeed, Allah knows and you do not know. And Allah knows that there is nothing that can be made as a similitude for Him, or as an example, or some way to show something like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a comparison. He knows and you do not know. And this, some of the scholars said, is in reference to the pagan disbelievers who didn't know that Allah shouldn't have anything to be set up as an equal or similar to Him, and therefore they worshipped other things besides Him. The last ayat from these first nine ayat, that's before the ayats of Istiwa, is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 33rd ayat, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. This ayat has a lot of any discussion, but we'll just like mention one point. From Shaykh Al-Usaymi, he says that from the sifat of Allah that are confirmed in this ayat is at-tahreem, that Allah is the one who declares that which is forbidden or haram. Say, indeed, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي مَا رَبْ, He has made haram, forbidden al-fawahish, yani indecencies, like homosexuality and things like this. Whatever is apparent from it and whatever is not apparent. وَالْإِثْمِ and sin in general. وَالْبَغْيِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ and yani transgressing against anyone, oppression, and all oppression is without a right. Some of the scholars said the meaning here is والبغي بغير الحق means that every type of oppression is yani unjustified, is unacceptable, unlawful. No one has a right to oppress anyone else. وَانْتُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا, and that you associate something with Allah as what for which you Allah has not sent down any authority, any proof for what you have associated with him. وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and that you say about Allah that which you do not know. Some of the scholars said here that this ayat is also a refutation of the mushabbiha, yani who, because of their making Allah similar in some ways to things in the creation, then they worshipped them along with him, and it's also a refutation of the mu'attila, yani who denied some of Allah's sifat, and that is referred to in his saying, and that they say about Allah that which they do not know, yani they denied some of Allah's sifat that he affirmed for himself without knowledge, without knowledge. So these are the ayat that we wanted to look at tonight in terms of the first part of this chapter. The commentary of the Shaykh we'll look at very briefly, and the what remains of the other ayat that are mentioned here we'll look at next week bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the ayat related to al-istiwa ala al-arsh, yani, and the ayats are mentioned here in series, seven ayat from seven different places in the Quran, and we'll look at them next week bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. As far as the shah of the ayats that are mentioned here, Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, he says هذه الآيات كلها في بيان جملة من صفات الله عز وجل كالتي سبقت, yani these ayat, all of them are intended as a clarification of some of the sifat of Allah, just like those that preceded, clarification of some of the sifat of Allah. And as I mentioned in the beginning, most of what is mentioned in these ayat are ayat or ayat that indicate sifat of Allah that are negated from Allah, yani as-sifat as-salbiyya. Nonetheless, tariqatu ahli sunnah wal jama'ah fi dhalika al-iman biha, yani the way of the ahli sunnah wal jama'ah concerning the sifat of Allah, whether they are thubutiyya or salbiyya, the way of ahli sunnah wal jama'ah concerning them is to have iman in them, that we must believe in whatever Allah has affirmed for himself or what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has affirmed for him. وَإِثْبَاتُهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّائِقِ بِاللَّهِ, and to affirm them just as they came in a manner that is befitting for Allah, and to confirm these sifat in a manner that's befitting, that's suitable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيفِ وَلَا تَعْتِيلْ وَلَا تَكِيفْ وَلَا تَمْثِيلْ, without distorting their meanings, without denying their meanings, without explaining how or making examples or similitudes. Yani this is the tariqah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, believing in them and affirming them just as they came in a manner that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without distorting their meanings or denying them or explaining how or making similitudes. وَهَكَذَا مَا جَاءَ فِي السُّنَّةِ الصَّحِيحَةِ مِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ, and so and the same way it is with what came to us in the authentic sunnah, yani the sifat of Allah that came in the authentic sunnah. And again, I'm going to just emphasize the importance of the imam, yani in describing the sunnah as a sunnah as-sahiha. And this is an indication and reminder to us that not everything that came in the sunnah is sahih. And what we are talking about here is what the authentic narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not just because it's narrated in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, but we have to confirm the authenticity of the narration. So this is the same. This is how we deal with the sifat of Allah that came in the Sunnah as-Sahihah. Kulluha ala hadha as-sabil. All of it is understood in this way. Yajibu ithbatuha lillahi. It is obligatory upon us to affirm it for Allah, ala al-wajh laik billah, in a way that, in a manner that is befitting of Allah, without distorting, or without denying, or without explaining how, or making similitudes or examples. So that's his opening statement, and this is the tariqah of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, and we have discussed this on many occasions. Sometimes the Shaykh adds some points here and there. It's upon us to remember all of these points. Yani from the points that he didn't mention here, is that these sifat are haqqun. They are real sifat of Allah. They are real sifat of Allah. However, the kayfiyya, how they are, is known only to Allah. There's no resemblance between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of His creation. And all of these points have to be kept in the forefront of our mind when we think about the sifat of Allah and the tariqah or the way of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then the Shaykh mentions here, so here in his commentary of those 9 ayats, he mentions about 4 of them. He mentions 5 of them, but 4 of them he actually discussed. And the rest of those ayats, he didn't yani comment on them. Okay, so we're going to look at just a few of those ayats that we saw this in the first part of the session, and his commentary concerning them. So the first ayat that was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is that which came in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 22nd ayat. The Shaykh says, وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ yani from that which we affirm, we believe in, and we look at it, we understand it in a way that's suitable to Allah without distorting and all of that, he said, well, from that, from these sifat that contain in these ayat, is the sifat that's contained in the saying of Allah, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And don't make any andad for Allah while you know. While you know what? That He is إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Yani, so here the sifa that we are talking about in this first ayat is the wahdaniyah of Allah. That Allah is one, that He is unique, and there is no other one along with Him, equal to Him, or sharing with Him. The second ayat that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, the Shaykh says, وَقَوْلُهُ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. And from amongst the people are those who take andad, yani set up rivals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from amongst the people. Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 165th ayat. The Shaykh says, al-andad. What is al-andad? He said, al-andad, in reference to the brother's question, the Shaykh says, al-andad is al-ashbah wal-nudhara. Al-andad, he says, is al-ashbah, yani shabih, that which is similar, something that you consider to be similar. Wal-nudhara, yani nadhir, that which is like. So we don't set up anything as being similar to Allah or like Allah. There's nothing similar to Allah. There's nothing like Allah. There's nothing equal to Allah. Okay, this is what he said is the meaning of al-andad. لَيْسَ لَهُ نِدْ وَلَا نَذِيرُ. Yani there's no rival or equal to him, nor anyone or anything that is like him. So he's saying, and from amongst the people, yani وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, yani this is عَلَى سَبِيلَ them. This is mentioned in a manner of it being blameworthy that these people have taken andad for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, some of the people, بعض الناس يتخذوا andadا وهم المشركون. Who are these people who are setting up andad for Allah? They are the pagan disbelievers, the mushrikun. Even after Allah prohibited it, so they still made rivals with Allah. That they considered to be similar to Allah, to be like Allah, and therefore they gave them the rights that were exclusive rights of Allah alone. They are the mushrikun. وَقَدْ نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْ هَذَا بِقَوْلِهِ. And Allah has prohibited doing so, setting up rivals for Him, when He said, do not set up rivals for Allah while you know. Yani that He's one God and there's no one like Him, similar to Him, equal to Him, or sharing with Him. Here the Shaykh, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Ibaz, rahimahullah, he interprets, he defines, he explains this ayah to us in other words that make crystal clear what is meant by وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يَعْنِي لَا تَتَّخِذُوا مَعَهُ مَعْبُودَاتٍ مِنْ أَصْحَابَ الْكُبُورِ أَوْ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ أَوْ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَوْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ أَوْ مِنْ الْأَحْجَارِ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ بَاطِلٌ. So what is meant by فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا مَعَهُ مَعْبُودَاتٍ. Don't take anything to be along with Him that which is worshipped along with Him. Don't take anything as something to be worshipped along with Him, whether it is from those who are buried in the graves, the dead, or whether it is from prophets or angels, or from amongst the jinn, or stones, or anything else. Yani the meaning here is, don't set up, accept anything to be worshipped along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's from prophets or angels. Nothing should be worshipped along with Allah. All of that is batil, and for that he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 2, Hajj. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. And that is because Allah, He is the haq, the truth. And whatever they are calling upon other than Him is false. Yani has no right to be worshipped. This ayat, the Shaykh says, is in Surah Al-Hajj. And he also mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala في Surah Al-Luqman, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. almost the same exact wording, but like one slight difference. Meaning is the same. That is because Allah, He is the Haqq, and that whatever they are calling upon, meaning whatever they are worshipping, because yani الدُّعَى هُوَ الْإِبَادَةِ. So whatever they are calling upon means whatever they are worshipping, with any kind of worship, whether it's dua other than that. Whatever they are worshipping besides Allah is false. It has no right to be worshipped. Then the Shaykh says, فَالْوَاجِبُ. So what is obligatory upon us? فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْمُكَلَّفِينَ. And here is another note in the translation. الْمُكَلَّفِينَ is not translated, which is a little bit misleading and very important for us to make a note of. يعني فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْمُكَلَّفِينَ. Yani what is obligatory upon every person who is mukallaf, yani who is of the age of responsibility where they are responsible to fulfill Allah's commands and His prohibitions. It doesn't mean an infant or a child. Okay, so it's important that that word is put in there. What is obligatory upon everyone who has been held responsible by the Sharia to obey Allah's commands and avoid His prohibitions? What is obligatory upon all of the people who are mukallaf? Four things. And يَعْبُدُوهُ وَحْدَهُ. What is obligatory is that you worship Allah alone. وَيَتَبَرَّعُوا مِنَ الْأَنْدَادِ. And that you declare yourself to be free from anything that has been set up as a rival or equal with Allah. So you have to worship Allah alone, and you also have to declare your freedom, your innocence, your being free from whatever has been set up besides Him. It's not just enough to worship Allah. We also have to say we don't worship other than Allah. We don't worship those other things. And that's why some of the scholars mention, yani when a person is given shahada, if they are from the Christian people, when they say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, they should also say, Wa anna Isa Abdullah wa Rasuluh. Yani they have to reject that which they used to believe as well. Not just saying, I believe in Allah, but also, I don't believe that Isa is anything other than a prophet and a messenger of Allah. And that came from the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he mentioned, these things are part of what we believe in. He said, and also, وَأَنْ يَعْلَمُوا يَقِينًا أَنَّهُ لَا نِدَّ لَهُ. And also, every one of us must know with certainty that Allah doesn't have any rival, anything that is equal to Him. وَلَا مِثْلَ لَهُ, similar to Him. وَلَا كُفَّ لَهُ, or anything that is comparable to Him. We must know with certainty that Allah doesn't have anyone that is equal, similar, or comparable to Him. وَأَنْ يَعْتَقِدُوا ذَلِكَ. And we must, this must be our aqidah. So what is obligatory is that we worship Allah alone, we declare ourselves free from whatever has been set up as equals with Him, and we know with certainty that there is nothing equal to Him. And we have to believe that. That has to be, yani, our firm conviction in our heart. It has to be our aqidah, which is the firm conviction in the heart that doesn't allow for any, yani, doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, here he mentions in Surah Al-Ikhlas, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Yani that Allah did not, was not born, nor did He give birth, and there is no one that is comparable or equal to Him. Surah Al-Ikhlas, 112th Surah, 3rd and 4th Ayat, and the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 74th Ayat, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ. Yani, and don't set up any similitudes. And he's saying that something is similar or like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given any example with anything in the creation. And finally, he mentions Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And this is our principle, yani foundation proof concerning this affair, that there's nothing like Him, yani the negation of being anything like Him, while at the same time affirming, any negation and affirmation, affirming that He is As-Sami' Al-Basir, the one who is all-hearing and all-seeing. The third ayat, the Shaykh also comments on the third ayat from these nine ayats. Let me look at the time. Yep, time is close. The third ayat is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 111th ayat. Third ayat mentioned by Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Shaykh is saying here, the saying of Allah, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ. He said, Allah is commanding to say that the praise belongs to Him. Yani, He is worthy of praise because of His perfect qualities and characteristics, and from another angle, He is worthy of all the praise because of His bounties and favors and blessings upon us, and is protecting us from harm and so on and so on. I'll say the praise belongs to Allah. All of the praise, perfect praise, belongs to Allah alone. He is the one who has not taken for himself a son, nor does he have any partner in the dominion and sovereignty of the heavens and earth, nor has he taken a wali, yani protector or supporter or helper, out of weakness or need for anyone, yani to help or to support him. Here the Shaykh says, he's commenting on the fact that Allah does have awliya, but the point here is he doesn't have a wali that he has taken because he has a need for help or support or aid or protection. لَيْسَ لَهُ وَلِي مِنَ الظُّلْ. He doesn't have any wali due to weakness or need. لَهُ أَوْلِيَا مَحَبَّةٍ وَتَقْرِيبٍ. But he has awliya who are, yani their being his awliya is based upon al-mahabba and al-qurb, yani the love of Allah for them, and Allah bringing them near to him. They are near to Allah. Allah loves them and he brings them near to him. لَيْسَ مِنَ الظُّلْ. It's not due to any weakness or any need of his. Rather, هُوَ الْغَنِي عَنْ كُلِّ مَا سِوَاهُ. He is free of need of everything besides him. هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ. He is the mighty. الْقَاهِرُ. The conqueror. الْغَالِبُ. The one who overcomes everyone and everything. He doesn't have any need. لَيْسَ لَهُ أَوْلِيَا مِنَ الظُّلْ. Yani out of need or weakness. He doesn't have any awliya. لَكِنْ أَوْلِيَا يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. But these awliya of Allah are awliya whom he loves them and they love him. Ata'uhu wattaquhu. They obeyed him and they observed taqwa of Allah. Fahum awliya lahu ala sabil al mahabba lahum wattaqrib lahum. Yani they are his awliya in the sense of what? Of him having love for them and him bringing them near to him. Why? لِكَوْنِهِمْ أَطَاعُهُ وَعَظَّمُوا أَمْرَهُ. Because they obeyed him. And because they exalted and raised high his command. They showed the greatest respect for his command. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 63rd Ayat. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Indeed, the awliya of Allah, there is no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. They are those who have believed, who have iman, and they also observe taqwa. The people of iman and taqwa. هَؤُلَاءِ هُمْ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ. These are the awliya of Allah. لَيْسُ مِنَ الظُّلِّ. ذُلْ. It's not out of weakness or need for them, لَكِنْ مِنْ طَرِيقِ الْمَحَبَّةِ وَالْقُرْبَ لَهُمْ. But rather, it is in the way of Allah having love for them. And Allah bringing them near to him, لأنهم أطاعوه واتبعوا شريعة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that is because they have obeyed him, and because they have strictly adhered to the Sharia of his messenger, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Here I just want to quickly note that the Shaykh has described the awliya of Allah, yani that Allah loves them, and Allah brings them near to him because of their obedience to him and their taqwa. Because of their obedience to him and because of them raising high his command. Because of their obedience to him and their following the Sharia of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are all qualities and characteristics that a Muslim should be looking to. Obedience to Allah and taqwa and ta'azim of the Amr of Allah and following ittiba, the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh says, wa hakadha, in the same way that he mentioned in the beginning. What is the tariqah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah? Yani believing in the sifat of Allah, affirming what Allah has affirmed for himself, yani without distorting their meanings or denying them and so on. He says, وَهَكَذَا جَمِيعُ الْآيَاتِ أَلَّتِي فِيهَا ذِكْرُ الْمُلْكُ وَالْحَمْدُ وَالْقُدْرَةِ. So likewise, this is how we look at all of the ayat that contain in them the mention of the sovereignty of the heavens and earth, or the praise that belongs to Allah alone, or the qudra, the power of Allah that is perfect. فَهُوَ الْمَالِكُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He is the one who owns and controls everything. الْخَالِكُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He is the one who created everything. There is no two creators, creator of good and evil. Allah is the only creator. الْقَادِرُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He is the one who has power over everything. Al-alimu bi jami' ahwal ibadihi. He's the one who knows all of the conditions, situations, and circumstances of his worshippers. Kullu hadha haqqun. All of this is the truth. And by the way, perhaps the Shaykh is in this sentence here, yani the all of the ayats which contain the mention of al-mulk and al-hamd and al-qudra, yani in Surah Al-Taghabun, 64th Surah, first ayat, there is the mention of al-mulk and al-hamd and al-qudra, yani that Allah is ala kulli shayin qadir. Then the sixth ayat is the last ayat that the Shaykh comments on, and we're going to stop with this here. He says, وَمِنْ هَذَا يعني, and also, likewise, from these ayat that contain sifat of Allah, and most of them here are sifat as-salbiya, any qualities or characteristics that are negated from Allah because they contain any indication of defect or deficiency, and this cannot be attributed to Allah, he said, وَمِنْ هَذَا قَوْلُهُ, and from amongst these ayat that contain the sifat of Allah is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 2nd Ayat, وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا, and he has not taken for himself a child. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says that this could mean a male child or a female child. It could mean children, because some of them said that, yani the Christians said he has a son, and the Jews said he has a son, and the pagan disbelievers said that he has children, yani the angels. So he said this is inclusive of all of that, yani that Allah has not taken for himself a child. And then he says, he mentions from Surah Al-Ikhlas that we already mentioned, he wasn't born nor did he give birth, and there is no one equal to him. He said, كُلُّ هَذِهِ السِّفَاتِ ثَابِتَةٌ لَهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى, yani that all of these sifat, those which are mostly here, negation, as well as those which are affirmed, all of them are confirmed for him. All of these sifat, Allah has confirmed for himself in the Qur'an. Or as we'll see in the future sessions in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, وَهُوَ الْخَالِقُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, he is the creator of everything. And then he mentions this statement from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 2nd Ayat, وَخَالَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, and Allah is the one who created everything, and he has set yani the measure for everything in a perfect manner. The Shaykh, he closes after this ayat, he says, وَهُوَ الْعَالِمُ بِأَهْوَالْ إِبَادِهِ, he is the one who is knows everything about the conditions, situations, and circumstances of his worshippers. And then he mentions this ayat. He doesn't comment on this ayat, yani from Surah Al-Taghabun, 64th Surah, first ayat, لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, yani for him is the sovereignty, and for him is all praise, and he is the one who has the power over everything. So these are sifat of thubutiyah that affirm for Allah the mulk, the sovereignty, and the hamd, the praise, and that he is yani qadir ala kulli shayin, yani al qudra, the perfect power over everything. Then the Shaykh says, and we'll come to this next week, وَهُوَ أَيْضًا موصوف بالاستواء فوق العرش في سبع مواضع, and then he mentions the surahs that Allah is also described with al-istiwa, ascension above the arsh, and we're going to talk about those ayat and the Shaykh's commentary concerning them in the following session bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Any corrections? Okay, inshallah, when we break, inshallah, we'll have a chance to have some discussion concerning any comments or any questions that anyone has. Inshallah, whoever's able to stay, we'll stay just for a few minutes. Otherwise, we're going to dismiss with this. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.